open your mind this morning to the message. There might be something that you're like, I know what this is. I've heard this before. Even if you've heard this stuff before, open your mind to see what's there for you today, right? God's word tends to be like a diamond, and it refracts in the light in different way. If I'm standing here and the light is shining through this part of the diamond, I'll see a different tone that I'll see on this side. God's word can do that. Be humble this morning as you sit there. I want to be humble in sharing. What that means, just open your mind. Let it do whatever it can do. And I'm confident that it always does what it's sent to do. Always. So Q&A time at the end. Can I teach you a little bit of German?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you for giving me permission. Does anybody speak German, by the way? Because you might be able to pronounce this better than I can.
No?
Okay. Can you read that word for us? Just the first word?
I just said I don't speak
any. No, but you said something in German, didn't you?
Yeah, I said I don't.
Well, it's better than anybody else. So was I. That's why I continued to push a little bit more. So I enjoy reading, learning about history and some theology and a little bit of everything. I enjoy reading, and a word I came across about a year ago is Vorfreud. And the definition of this word, I love the definition. If I've hung out with you at any time, maybe you've heard me say this or encourage you with this. But here's the definition of it. It's the joyful, intense anticipation that comes from imagining future pleasures. Think about the definition for a moment. Like, before I try to connect it to anything spiritually, just think about the definition. I think there's beauty there in just the word. It's kind of tippy toes anticipation. You know, like little kids standing over the counter just waiting for the ice cream cone. Like, yeah, come on, come on. Like anticipation. And it's imagining a future pleasure. Pleasure is something good, right? Right? The opposite of a pleasure is a displeasure. Kind of fearful, right? A lot of wisdom there, right? You see what I did? The opposite of pleasure is displeasure. So this morning, as we do celebrate Easter, for those with some kind of Christian background, we do celebrate Easter this morning. Easter is a big deal because we do celebrate that the Son of God rose from the dead. And I love that. Now, I'll pause real quick and I'll say that we should develop a lifestyle of not forgetting that. Because if we celebrate Easter once a year and we build up in an amazing, enormous way, it's really not going to do anything for us the rest of our year. Does that make sense? Like our faith, growing faith, lack of faith, wherever you fall on that spiritual spectrum, if everything hinges on one day, it'll be empty for the rest of the 364 days. It's important to often remember this truth. So I want to get there slowly, and I want to share some beauty about this. So because it is Easter, we learned that that there was a day in the life of Jesus, the Son of God, where he was tortured, where he was mocked. We learn that he was humiliated. We learn that he was beat up. And eventually, the Bible tells us that he is eventually required to carry a big wooden cross and to travel up a mountainside to a place called Golgotha. Translates to the skull. Traditionally, that's where people who were going to be crucified or executed would go, hence the name and the background of it. And we're told that eventually Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh, right? Big concepts. Just chew on it a little bit. We're told that eventually he is put on a cross and that his hands are nailed and his feet are nailed to the cross. The cross is lifted. He is shamed. People mock him as he is literally dying and taking his last breaths. Has a crown of thorns put upon his head to mock his claim that he is the king. People laugh at him. People turn their back on him. So I want to try and put out there that some of us who are sitting here this morning, some of us who will listen to this on a podcast perhaps later, we're kind of living in a Friday. And the Fridays, if you will, entail pain. The Fridays entail rejection. The Fridays in our life entail betrayal. Like people who you thought had your back don't. It entails gossip, abandonment, not only from your friends, but from your family. Literally, we learn that when Jesus Christ is on the cross and he dies, he has a conversation with his Father in heaven. And that at one point he says, "Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you rejected me? Why have you abandoned me?" So think about all the beautiful / horrific metaphors here. His closest friends that he lived life with for 3 to 4 years are asked, "Is that the guy you know? Is that your buddy on the cross?" And because his friends were fearful, they're like, "No, I don't know him." So betrayal, abandonment, pain. What kind of pain? Physical for sure, right? Nails through his hands, feet, crown of thorns. That doesn't even go to point out the torture prior to, which we learn that he's lashed with a whip. And the way the Romans used to torture their prisoners and their criminals, as Jesus is called, is that they would attach little pieces of animal bone to the end of the whip. And the design of that whip, a cat of nine tails is what they used to call it. The design of that whip was that so they were lashed, the bone would grasp onto the flesh, and when you would pull back on the whip, it will tear away the flesh. It's graphic. It is, right? I mean, death is graphic, right? I think I'd be foolish if I try to stand up here and I parade an Easter bunny and some kind of show with lights and smoke to try and communicate the Easter message. Like, it's horrific. An innocent being, the Son of God in the flesh, is killed by the religious folks. So, if it's true that perhaps our lives have some Friday sprinkled in different ways, I wonder what that looks like for us, right? And I'd invite you in a very tender way. Hear me out. In a very tender way. I'd invite you to be introspective about your life for a moment. Does it feel in some ways that you're kind of living in a Friday? In some ways. Like, have you tasted, or do you still have the remnant in your taste buds of what betrayal feels like? family member, friend, or anybody else, do you, as I say these words, do you know what rejection feels like? Abandonment? Being mocked? Like, can you relate so much that you're like, that's kind of a season I'm in? And I invite you just to be real with yourself. Just you and your thoughts and Holy Spirit. It's kind of some things I feel or have felt. I know there are some parts of my life that kind of feel like that. Not a complete Friday right now in the season, though I've been in those complete Fridays, right? That where there's been not only physical pain, but emotional. You know what I mean? Like broken heart. Like looking in the mirror and saying, there is no value in me. That's emotional pain. Does anybody care about me? That's emotional pain. Am I good enough? I've been there. So it's physical, it's emotional, and it's even spiritual. Because our hearts hurt, like in here. Not physically our hearts hurt, even though that's possible, but like deep down our spirits. I've been there. I know what it tastes like. And after Friday comes Saturday, right? And Scripture, the Bible, which we use as our guide, by the way. Saturday, there's a lot of unknown. So there are other parts of our life where it just kind of feels unknown. Like dark. Maybe not too much full of pain because of what we've tasted, but scary. The unknown is scary, right? The doubts and the fears are born in the unknown. Despair is born in the unknown. So we're told that after Jesus Christ dies and takes his last breaths, we're told that his body is taken down off of the cross, that a man says to the Roman governor, can I have the body of Jesus Christ? And he says, I have a tomb. Kind of a foreign concept for us, but basically said, I have a burial ground. I have a plot at the cemetery, basically, for the sake of our understanding. So they take the body of Jesus and they put it in a tomb. They roll a big stone over the opening of the tomb. And then, there's nothing. We don't have, the Bible does not give us a step-by-step, minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour depiction of what happens. We know now, by the way, what happens. Or perhaps you've heard at some point what the end result is. But if you were there, living that season with Jesus, it was complete unknown. Jesus told his closest friends, I'm gonna die. And they didn't get it. He said, I'm going to come back to life. They did not get it. Over and over, the interactions with Jesus and his closest followers are, you still don't believe. You have little faith. They don't get it. It was a huge concept to grasp. But let me invite you to do something similar to the Friday. What are you waiting on? And you just don't know what the answer to it is. Are there things that you're waiting on? A diagnosis, health-wise, maybe to change? Maybe a new job opportunity? Maybe you're waiting for that special day? Whatever that might be for you. maybe you're waiting for that special person. Man, maybe you're just waiting to feel alive. I'd contend that there are more days that feel like Saturday than anything else in our entire lives. There are these seasons of waiting. And it's not just a bad wait, by the way. We can wait for good things, right? But the waiting doesn't go away. Right? We can be waiting for that child to be born. It doesn't change the fact that we're waiting. What are you waiting for? Or are you in a season where you just want the wait to end? I've got a two-year-older brother. His name is Carlos. I've shared story before, but that dude has been sitting in a prison in Mexico for 7 years. Hasn't seen his kids since then. When all this happened, he had a baby who was like months old. She has no idea who her dad is. Like no real idea, right? There's some kind of communication there, but just mind-blowing. And I'd be more than glad to grab a coffee with you one day if you have questions and I'll share. But I'm waiting, like, for that to get resolved. I am. I'm waiting for something to happen. And that waiting hurts. That waiting is scary. That waiting leaves a gap in my heart, in my mind. It's a feeling of kind of lost. Like sometimes in this waiting, like I don't even see the path, right? Like I don't even know if the next step is here or if there's a hole there. That's what that waiting feels like sometimes. And there are many other things that I'm waiting for in my life. I want this message to be applicable to all of us. And I would almost contend that it is. We just have to be real and connect with what we're hearing with and just like let the message grasp you, please. And I want to be tender about it too, because I know that these things are very real and they're very close to our hearts. Either the pain of a Friday or the waiting of a Saturday. And here's a big question, right? In honor of Easter, I'm going to do pink. Is there hope? Philosophize. Please, I invite you. Philosophize. What does a philosopher do? Think. He thinks deeply. He sits sometimes without doing anything but letting the word or the words grasp him. You guys are so smart. You guys have these cognitive abilities that have been given to you. Use them. Faith requires cognitive abilities. Think deep. Let what you're listening today pull you a little bit or a lot. Is there hope? Legit question. Is there hope? Is there a day when the Friday moves and it's no longer a Friday? Is there a time in a season where it's no longer a Saturday? And I would say that there is victory. And here's the proof. Follow me real quick. So we have a verse from the book of Acts, New Testament, second half of the Bible. And it describes a sort of victory that we celebrate on Easter, right? And it says this: Jesus suffered the horrors of death, but God brought him back to life. The ropes of death were untied, proof that death was no match for him. Here, let me try and paint something real quick. So I'm going to start to close up the message, okay? But let me try and paint something so that we do not gloss over this. Let me try and paint something. We're told that Jesus dies. Like, death is it, right? Like, things are over when they're dead. Hope ends, and even the pain ends in some way, but death is death, right? And we're told that the Son of God dies. He's put in a tomb. His body is limp. There is no circulation. He's wrapped up the way the bodies were wrapped up, and his body sits in a tomb. Death literally grasped him. But then we're told that the ropes of death were untied. So, if we give this the weight and we allow it to have the extremity that it truly has, this word, then we would be blown away to try and grasp, and I'd say that none of us fully get this, but we would be blown away to know that the ropes of death were untied. So death is no more. Whoa, that doesn't make sense. And it really doesn't. I can't explain it to you. My job this morning isn't to try and explain it. My job this morning isn't to try and unwrap it, build it up for you. You look at the model and you say, oh, I get it. Death. Now life. I get it. Thank you, Pollo. Great job, dude. No, this is a faith thing. And how much faith do we need? Like this. Like this. Don't miss it. This much. Mustard seed. The message this morning isn't for you to pull yourself up from your bootstraps. So I'm going to build up a bunch of faith and I got this. No, we're never told that. The church has done a horrible job at communicating the opposite. Believe strong and be a faith warrior. Darn, there are no faith warriors. Can we grow in our faith? Of course. But this is how much is required. A mustard seed faith. Perhaps death lost that day. Perhaps there was victory. So here's the message of what I'm trying to communicate for us. Is that what if our Friday and Saturday will soon be over? And they're different ways. Really heavy, kind of medium, or I kind of get it, it's not that bad. But wherever we're at, what if there is potential for the Friday and Saturday to eventually turn into a Sunday victory? Death no longer has its grip. The ropes of death were untied. AKA things change. A new season, the opportunity, the diagnosis, the freedom, the hope, the love, the life, the acceptance. And if anything, this God that we're learning about, is a God of hope. He's the one who says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. He's the God who says, from ashes to beauty. He's the one who says, when darkness feels like it's suffocating, light has the capability to come in. Like, if anything, that is a message of this God that we're learning about. We go back to your areas of Friday and Saturday for a moment. Go back to them for a moment. In your heart, in your mind, go back to them. What are your Fridays and your Saturdays? Go back to them, please. What if? What if there's hope? Think about the implications of that. What if there is hope? What if things can change? Then what does that do for us here? Does that not change our outlook? What if things won't forever be like this? What if the light does shine? What if the power of death, what if it starts to fade? Then everything changes, right? Because I go to bed tonight thinking, what if? What if it can change? What if God's commitment to me can change? What if my heart can start to flourish a little bit because I believe that there is hope? Then we can start to communicate that hope. We can start to believe it slowly. What if there's life? What if there's possibility? The outlook changes, the attitude changes, the heart slowly, breath by breath, starts to evolve a little bit. Because I stop building a cell around me that doesn't allow me to look out anymore because of the pain. And hope says it can take those bricks away and it allows you eventually to be able to have a little bit of sight and you breathe a little bit clearer. And it leads to a life of freedom. Freedom here in my heart, not shackled to the despair and the fear. Because I would contend that Christ did not die on a cross so that we would live in this prison of despair and fear. So what if our Fridays and our Saturdays change a little bit as far as our outlook? I can't take the pain away. I can't change the unknown. My job isn't to sugarcoat stuff and say, it's okay, I'm not a coach. I'm not a life coach. But what if in the truth of God's beautiful word, I lay it out? I lay out God's beautiful word. And I'm like, let it speak to you. Because what if that's your story? What if your Sunday is around the corner? What if the Sunday is knocking on your door? But the anxiety and the pain and the fear drown out the knock. These are all good questions for you to ask yourself. What if the Sunday is near? And then that builds what? Joyful anticipation, right? It builds some of this, right? Some Vorfreude. It builds it because you are anticipating a great pleasure. And it changes everything, right? It changes your interactions with people. It changes what you update on your social outlets. It changes the way you live, the way you give, the way you speak, the way you go in and work, the way you put your head on the pillow. It changes everything. And here's the invitation for us this morning. What if it's a true hope? What if this hope isn't false? What if he has that ability? Here's something that I'll throw out before I finish. Is that to get to the Sunday, we need the Friday and the Saturday. We can't skip to the Sunday, right? I would love to often constantly taste the victory of the Sunday. I would love for the pain and the fear and the unknown and the abandonment and the rejection. I would love for all of those to fade, to pass. But we don't get to the Sunday without passing through the Friday and Saturdays of our lives. What's the message in that? Don't despair. Don't despise. Sometimes we despise the season so much that we miss what's going on in here. There's beauty. Not because I say it, but there's beauty because you have a creator. Wherever you're at spiritually, you have a creator who breathed life into you. And you have a creator who has a plan for your life. A good one. A plan that is laced in hope. Surround yourself with people who will hold your hand on the Friday. Surround yourself with people like that. On the Saturday, surround yourself with people. No advice sometimes. Just somebody to be there. Guess what? I want that in the inmost parts of me. I want somebody. Maybe one of the main purposes of church has been missed, because that's one of the main purposes of church. That we would be the family. The body. There's beauty in that if that's true, right? Because if church is nothing but a stop on a Sunday morning, then we have failed miserably. As you get to the Sunday, surround yourself with people to be there with you on the Friday and Saturday. It takes vulnerability, it takes truth, it takes being non-judgmental. Sunday's coming. It's going to be beautiful. Practice your German. A great pleasure. That's beautiful, huh? A great pleasure. Wishful thinking? No, standing on God's word, who says that's who I am. I'll close up with this. These are lyrics from an old hymnal, maybe 1700s. A fellow by the name of William Cowper. The name of the hymnal is God Moves in Mysterious Ways. And these are parts of the lyrics. Let me read them. Slowly, let the words speak to you. Maybe you close your eyes, or maybe you follow. This is where it meets us. It says, fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break with blessings upon your head. Therefore, judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Because behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. That's the Sunday. He passed through the Friday and Saturday before He got there. Right? So Jesus, in our doubts, in our fears, in our skepticism, in our unbelief, meet us here today. Like, for some of us, we have so much of that Friday and Saturday in us that we hear something like this and we reject be tender with us, please, and allow your word to be planted firmly in our hearts, please. Let us soon taste the sweetness of the flower. Thank you, because your love is 100% committed. We run away, and your love is there saying, you're mine regardless. Thank you, Christ. In your name, amen. It's your favorite.